morning by thanking you for putting up with me on a screen last week. It is good to be back and with you in person, but hopefully that was an avenue that we can use in the future if we need to when I've got to be gone. We worshiped last Sunday morning with what I quietly call Country Club Road East. We were at Quaker Avenue in Lubbock, and it seems like all of our people that moved to Lubbock wind up going to Quaker Avenue. And so sitting in those pews was kind of like sitting among you. I saw a lot of friendly faces and a lot of people that gave me a hard time, just like I was here. So it was like being home. And so they, all those members that have left us to move to Lubbock, said hello, especially Jason Moore, who's one of their ministers there. This was supposed to be our sermon on Snow Day, so that was a couple weeks ago. And in between Snow Day, I had an interesting conversation with one of my friends that preaches in California. And if you have watched the news, California has been bombarded with rain and mudslides and all kinds of crazy. And so Eric is one of the guys I listen to on Monday morning. He's very much he's a great preacher, and I respect him immensely, and he helps build me up on Monday morning after I've giving you everything I've got on Sundays. And so I thought I'm just going to chat with Eric a little bit and kind of see what's going on in his world and if there's any help their churches need. And so I email Eric and I say, Eric, what's going on with all the floods and the rain? And so we talked back and forth on the phone some. And what was interesting is in his discussion of the churches in California, he said, we've got all of this rain and all of this flooding and all of this mud that's coming out of everywhere. And I've been trying to call our church to hide. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. Why are you calling them to hide? And I says, well, I'm not calling them to hide from the world. I'm calling them to hide behind God. And I think that's where this psalm comes from. So I want to read it, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit more about some wisdom he gave. So here's what the writer says. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. For there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her and she will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Okay, that's probably one of my four or five favorite psalms. In those days when my world seems to be crashing around me, it is the beginning and the end of what I quote to myself. When I'm having those moments where I can't shut my brain down and my brain is thinking about this family that's hurting or this church problem or this event that's going on in our community or this stuff that's going on in our world and my brain is running 100 miles an hour and I can't seem to settle it, this is the psalm I come to. When I get those 2 o'clock in the morning calls, and they don't come very often, but when they come, they're always hard, this is the psalm that I go to. Whether it's chaos in my own life, or it's some tragedy that happens in the life of our church or our community, or those moments when it just seems to be going south, this is one of the first places I turn to. Because I think there is so much power in a line that opens with God is our refuge and strength. And a story that ends with, be still and know that I'm God. What's interesting is in the context of Psalm 46, you've got trouble that seems to be all around the psalmist. And it's assumed the psalmist is David. So if I call him David, that's not 100%. That's just kind of what's assumed. But the psalmist is going to say, here's the trouble that's coming. The finality of an earthquake, the fury of a storm, and the force of a flood. And you think about those three images that he begins with, and he starts with this line that says, God is our refuge and strength. But then he's going to say, we got the earth moving, and we got the storm brewing, and we got the flood going. When all of those things happen, literally, or maybe more often figuratively, where do we go? When life around us seems to start cratering, and we've got this problem and this problem, and the doctor's saying this, and the job is calling for this, and we're going through all of those movements in our life where it's easy just to throw our hands up and say, I don't know what to do next. What is the psalmist's point? And when our world flips upside down and we are crushed with grief and hurt, where do we go? Now, most of us have not lost everything. Most of us have never had a house wiped out by a flood or by an earthquake. There are some within our group who've had a house wiped out by fire. And there are some within our group who have had floods happen in their house that have taken out the bottom of everything. And there are some that have gone through great tragedy where they've had to rebuild for whatever reason. But all of us go through stuff maybe not quite as serious, but still tough. And so where do we turn? This psalm, to me, is the answer to those problems in my life. And it's the answer to the problems in my life when I'm wrestling with sin, when I'm wrestling with adversity that I've created, when I'm wrestling with those moments of grief because of family and death, when I'm wrestling with stuff I can't control. Here is, I think, where we can turn. Because the answer to the psalmist is, first, we see our God. See, here's what happens to me, at least when I'm in the midst of those crazy moments in my life, is I tend to, in the midst of whatever figurative storm that is going on, I see all the trees around me, and I see all the crazy around me, and I see all of the mess that's been created, and I forget to look beyond that. And what the psalmist does is he starts from the very beginning by saying, let's take a look beyond all of the stuff that's right in the middle of us and see that God is our refuge and strength. I think what the psalmist is trying to say is God is always available. Okay, I love this line from Hebrews chapter 6. And the writer says this, is he says, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it's impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. Okay, now imagine if you're reading the book of Hebrews, you are a second generation Christian that is going through some difficulty, and you're going through some hardship, and the writer is writing to you saying, okay, in the midst of all the stuff that we're going on, hold on. And so he's going to say, we're holding on because he's not going to lie, and we have taken hold of the hope, and thus we're encouraged. Notice what he says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary. And then he goes on to talk about this inner sanctuary, this holy of holies that we're part of that's going on around us. But notice what he says, in the midst of this, we hold on. Okay, I never intend to be on a boat in the middle of a lake where you need an anchor. Let's just be honest. Most of you know that I would rather walk the plank over a cliff than walk the plank over water. And so, but here's what I imagine you do is when the waves are crashing, you anchor down. And for the writer in Hebrews and for the writer of Psalms, he's saying there are moments in our life where we simply hold on knowing that God is there, because God is always there. Not only is he always available, but he is more than adequate. See, so often we think that maybe we can handle it on our own, or that God isn't concerned with what's going on around us. But I think the idea is if he is our refuge and our strength, he can handle it. So let me tell you, when those storms of life are crashing around you, know that God's the refuge. Know that in the midst of those moments when life is hard and when life is making you question everything that you believe in, more than any other time in your life, that's when you should know that God is refuge and God is strength. But then I love what the writer says in verse 5, because in verse 5, he talks about a God that lives among his people. Okay, isn't it nice to know that God lives among us? That we're not doing this alone? See, so often we kind of think we're on this island by ourselves, and we're fighting our battles on our own, and we're dealing with our difficulties on our own, and we're handling our grief and our trouble and our sin, and fill in all the other blanks that might go with that. And I think what the writer of Hebrews is saying is that is not the case. That he's a God who is called Most High, and he's a God who is called Lord of Hosts, and he's a God who is called the God of Jacob. And in the midst of that, not only do we have this understanding of God's greatness and God's superiority and God over all, but we've got a God who is with his people. See, whenever you hear that phrase in the Old Testament, that he is the God of Jacob, it brings to Israel this Old Testament image of a God who has walked hand in hand with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And a God who has been patient with their troubles and patient with their struggles, and as the writer in Hebrews 11 would say, has pointed them to something greater for them to realize. And that's the kind of God that we serve. The kind of God that we call upon in the midst of our trial and in the midst of our storm, because we know he lives among us. See, I think sometimes in the church we have this idea that God is high and lifted up. And we sing like that, right? I mean, we sing, one of our songs this morning was about how God is high and lifted up. And the point of those songs is often we've got a God who's perfect and righteous and who lives in heaven, but that's not the only place where God chooses to be, because God chooses to be right here. In this place where we are, in the midst not only of our worship where two or three are gathered, but in the midst of our lives as we're walking down the road, God chooses to be with us. And I think that's powerful. And in those moments when I think I'm fighting a battle all by myself, and in those moments when I'm trying to figure out how I can fix the problem and how I can cure what's going on, I need to be reminded that the one who is next to me is far greater than I can ever fathom. And that he is with me. And in the midst of him being with me, I can then trust and maybe even hide. See, I love that image of trust and hide. I think I probably told this story, but it was almost, I bet it was close to 20 years ago. We had an incident in our foyer that was going on, and it was before we had our little team that does their very best to try to keep us safe. But we had a guy who was, I don't know if he was off his meds or what was going on, but he was giving one of our secretaries a hard time. And when I say a hard time, it was to the point that she was a tad bit afraid. And I didn't clear this with you, and you may not even remember the story. David West walked out the back door, and that secretary ran and hid behind David. Now, I think four or five of us could probably hide behind David. I mean, he's taller and he's broader than almost everybody in this room. And he was a good, safe place for her to go. He was refuge and strength. Now if we had a secretary who can go hide behind David, what can we do behind God? In the midst of the world that we live in, where things are going nuts every now and then, what better place for us to go hide than the one who is among his people? And so when I'm in the trial, and when I'm in the fire, and when I'm in the adversity, the best place for me is not to stand there and think, I can handle this on my own. It's to go find the one who's bigger than I am. But then the psalmist says, he sends a river. Now, I've always thought that was kind of a unique line about this river that makes glad. And so I thought about it. Isn't a river one of your favorite places to be? Okay, I don't think it's a coffee shop anymore. I think it's turned into something else. But there used to be a place called Sacred Grounds in Ruidoso. And it was a little coffee shop, and it was the opposite of Starbucks. You know, Starbucks was get in there, get your coffee, get out fast. This was a place where you came and you got your cup of coffee, and they had the best cookies. So I'd get a cup of coffee and a snickerdoodle, or a cup of coffee and some other kind of cookie, and you would sit out on their little deck, And right by their deck was a little river, a little stream that kind of flowed down from the mountains. And you would just sit there and you could smell the mountains and you could hear the river. And sometimes you could see the wildlife. And it was just this place where you went, oh, that's what God ought to be for us. That the psalmist is saying, not only is God refuge and strength, not only is God a place we can go and hide in the midst of that, but he's a refreshing river that brings joy and that brings peace and that brings life. Notice what another Old Testament passage says about a river. This is Ezekiel chapter 47. He says, swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. Let me give you the context. The last couple of chapters of Ezekiel are kind of weird. Well, really, all of Ezekiel is kind of weird if you've read it. But the last couple of chapters are weird. You get this kind of 4D image of Jerusalem, and it's kind of settling down, and it's this kind of almost cube scene. And coming out of this cube scene of Jerusalem is this little tiny trickle of water. And this little tiny trickle of water starts growing and growing and growing and growing. And Ezekiel is kind of walking along this little trickle of water. And before you know it, it's up to his waist. And then it's up to his shoulders. And that's where Ezekiel comes here. And he says, here's what's going on in this river that's flowing. And he says, there will be large numbers of fish because the water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live. And what Ezekiel's message to Israel in captivity is, there's going to be a day when the river flows again. And there's going to be a day when Jerusalem is right again. And there's going to be a day when a temple is open again. And there's going to be a day when everything that is wrong is set back right. And the river gives life. I think that's what David is looking at here. Is here is this refreshing river that makes us glad. It's the river that brings life. It's the river that reminds us that God has got it. Maybe a New Testament example would be this one from John chapter 7. Jesus is in Jerusalem, and it's the festival of the tabernacles, the feast of the tabernacles. And the feast of the tabernacles was all about water images. And so we get this. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water." So he's quoting Ezekiel, what we just looked at. "Rivers of living water will flow from within them." So it's like Jesus is saying, okay, here we are in the midst of this festival that celebrates the way God brings refreshment to us. And in the midst of this festival of the tabernacles, we're going to be reminded that this comes from God and that he's the one who's going to do this. And so he continues, "By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And up to that time, the Spirit had not been given." And so Jesus is saying, here's what we're going to do. We've still got a river that brings us life. Jesus would say this river that brings us life is represented by the Spirit that lives within us, that connects us with God. And so God sends a river. But then there's a call to respond. Now for the psalmist, it's not enough for him to say God is refuge and strength. And it's not enough to say that God is going to be there in the midst of these storms and trials that we're going through. And it's not enough for him to say that God is going to bring refreshment and bring this river to save us. But then there is the response. And so I want you to reflect for a second just on these things. First, if God is refuge, why are we afraid? If God is everywhere, then why do we think he's not? And if God is a river, then why do we think we won't be taken care of? There's a river whose city makes streams, whose streams make glad the city of God. God is, verse 5 says, within her, and she will not fail. Have you ever gone backwards to think about what God has done? Notice verses 8 and 9 here. "Come and see what the Lord has done." I wish we did that a little more than we do. I wish we had those moments of historical reflection. I wish we had those moments, whether we did it corporately as the church or whether we did it individually as Christians, where we just took a second and said, "What has God done in my life?" How has he answered those prayers? And I know some of you keep a prayer journal, and here's what I encourage you to do. If you do that, go back and read some of the stuff you wrote 6 months ago, or 6 years ago, or six children ago. Go back and read those stories of what God has done, and see what you were asking God to do, and how you were asking God to deliver, and who you were asking God to heal, and what you were asking God to forgive, and how you were asking God to help, and then realize his track record. Come and see what the Lord has done. So the psalmist is saying, in the middle of the chaos that is brewing in your life, here's what I want you to do. Take a step back and reflect on what God has done, and then not only review it, but then rejoice. Notice verse 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted where? Among the nations and in all the earth. So after we have seen and remembered and been reminded of how God has delivered over and over, and maybe he said, wait for a while, that's okay too, but how God has delivered over and over, then we're reminded that here is the God that we serve, and so we're going to realize he's exalted above everything else. And so we're just going to be still. Okay, every now and then I get a little anxious, you know that. And God has put certain people in my life that will just tell me straight up when I start going a little overboard. There's a woman in my life, and it's not Nikki. That sounds really bad. Maybe I should go back to being on TV where I can edit lines I shouldn't say out. Okay, I've submitted my letter to the elders. You'll have a new preacher next week. This friend of mine, she says, would you just relax? What she's telling me, and I look to her as a mother figure, what she's telling me is just be still. That in the midst of your brain that's racing about whatever it is, just be still. Jonah was just a little kid when we were at this place in Park City. It's where they train for the Winter Olympics. And you could watch them do all their little jumps and stuff. And so we're sitting there in this bench, and it's kind of cold, and they're doing these tricks off of the ramp that they're going to do at the Olympics. And every time they get ready to go off the jump, they lean in. And I'm always wondering, that just seems to be opposite. I mean, if I went off the jump, I'd probably be flailing around and going this way, so I'm trying to lean this way and go backwards to what you're supposed to be doing. But every time they were going through that, they just leaned in. Maybe, no. I think what I need to do every time when trials and junk comes is I need to lean in. That instead of trying to flail and save myself and balance myself, what I need to do is lean in, and not lean into some jump to make it worse, but lean in to a God who is strength and to a God who is refuge. And then just settle down long enough to remind myself that God has got this. Okay, we're really good at saying this line, I've got this. I can figure my way out. I can handle the problem. I can deal with what's going on. And I wish we would switch from I've got this to he's got this. Because the minute I say he's got this, I lean in. And sometimes when we lean in, it's against every impulse that we have, but it's still the right answer. So be still and know that I am God. And lean in. Okay, we know that not every problem is instantly solved by leaning into God. There's going to come a day when there's a problem I can't fix. It might be heart disease, it might be cancer, it might be an accident, it might be fill in whatever blank. There's going to be a problem that I can't get out of. But in this very real sense, I get out of it better than I ever imagined. What I wish we could do better is see the story of our life from the angle of when it's all over. to see the story of our life from the angle of now God has got me in a better place, and we look back and say, look at what he's done. And let's be still and let's lean in. Okay, the beauty of this psalm is David, or the psalmist, talks about God. The beauty of a lot of other scripture is that not only do we have a God that we can lean into, but we have a church that we can lean into. That we have each other. In those moments that are difficult, in those moments that are hard, in those moments where spirituality is just flittering away, we've got each other. So not only do we have the strength of a God who saves, but we've got the strength of a body who loves. And maybe you need one or both of those things. I guarantee you can find it in this place. A brother or a sister who will walk with you through your journey, someone who will help you get some things figured out, someone who can just point to the rock of refuge and say, that's where we need to go. Because they've been there and they've trusted in their God. So if you need us in any way, let us know. We're going to sing. Kent, let's sing our song. Let's stand.